untouchable. Seriously, we dare you to try and touch him. Bob McCowan at Primetime Sports. Now. On the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Roundtable continues on Primetime for this Friday, the 27th of March, 2015. Yours truly, Bob McCown, along with Stephen Brunt, Elliot Friedman, and Arash Madani around the table. Baseball talk. We are a little more than a week away from the opening of the regular season.
Yeah, in Montreal next weekend.
Real baseball. Well, that's not the beginning of the regular season.
It's the end of the
preseason.
It's Stephen Brunt's party weekend official start to the season.
I love that Montreal. That was so great last year. That was just a blast.
It'll be interesting to see how they do this year. Apparently over 70,000 tickets sold, so it'll be comparable.
I was skeptical about last year, and the place was pretty much full, and the people reacted to it, and it was a big
eye-opener for Major League Baseball.
I guess. They still... There's a lot of pieces.
It's easy to say, we're impressed and not do anything about it.
Sure, but at least it's on the
radar. We're rooting for them.
Yep. For sure.
We're all rooting for them.
Yep.
All they got to do now is find somebody with money.
Right.
If they found somebody with enough money, willing to build a stadium, willing to finance a team, they'd have one. But they don't, and until they do, everything else is just.
What's that ticket?
Babble.
What's that whole thing?
Well, the stadium. Whole cost.
What's the stadium? $500 million.
Easy.
Yeah. Seven.
Easy 500. I think more.
Camden Yard was $171 million in 1991, and that's a pretty nice stadium.
That was the year after we paid $600 million.
Exactly.
For this
you could probably
actually budget for the dome was $170 million.
Yes, it was. Budget was.
It isn't exactly what we paid. It's another example of how governments can screw things up.
Don't tell Montrealers about the cost of
that's a good point.
What's the cost of the team? That to me.
Well,
the
whole
question.
Thing. What is the whole thing? Is it 1.25 all in?
Well, you know, it's what's your team? Like, you know, if it's Tampa, you got to buy yourself out of a lease. You know, which I'm not. And there's having spent most of the last month
sure
down
you
there.
Even
that,
can.
That debate is going to go on forever down there, and it's messy. And I'm not sure what's the other team. There's no other team, right?
No.
So I don't know, but it's the chicken and egg thing. But until there's a stadium, which would have to be a stadium in downtown Montreal to make it work, and if the land is there and Denis Coderre, the mayor of Montreal, was swanning around in Dunedin the last week I was there, and he said there was a place.
Denis is, interestingly, for those that aren't aware, the former sports minister of this country, who is now the mayor of Montreal. So
he was quite boastful last year. That's
very unlike Denis Coderre.
Yeah, really. A guy doesn't really like attention. Likes to come in under the radar.
Yeah, very much. Shrinking violent.
Politicians don't have usually a lot of money, but you need a champion, and I know there are champions in Montreal, but you really, I mean.
You can have all the champions you want, Bob. Yeah. You need a checkbook.
Selling tickets for Toronto Blue Jays spring training games is one thing. Finding a guy with a checkbook is another thing altogether. And until they do that, they're nowhere. They're just nowhere, much to our great chagrin. I hope they find that guy. And I think if they do find that guy, they'll get a team. One of the interesting things that came out, and look, at you, anytime a league talks about we believe this, you can take that with a grain of salt immediately, but they've mentioned, the new commissioner has mentioned international sites, Monterrey, Mexico, and Montreal as two places. Is it legitimate? Is it just babble? Who knows? Who knows?
Well, you look at the way it's going on in the NHL right now, okay? The NHL, we're not really interested in expanding.
Well, unless you got money.
All of a sudden, a guy walks
we're
up and
interested.
Says, the NHL says, well, for us even to listen to you, we're talking X. And what are we talking here? $500 million?
Plus an arena.
And so, the arena is being taken care of.
Yeah, Quebec City, I mean, it's...
Yeah, but you got to get it.
Yeah.
However you pay for it, you got to get it.
Yeah.
The Quebec City thing is interesting on the... I know we're getting way off topic here, but I was just there a few weeks ago, and, I mean, they've built...
It's there.
right beside
somebody
the Coliseum.
Somebody was sending me pictures of it on my Twitter account.
I just couldn't believe it.
Looks good.
Side by side, yeah.
Look, the best news with Quebec City is they've shut up.
Yeah.
Which means there's a chance. And I think they finally, whether it's Peladeau or whoever it is, they heard the message. Shut up, and we'll see what we can do.
You know who it is, I think, Bob? It's the guys, and Peladeau is kind of off now because he's a politician.
I know.
But the guys who run TVA were at the Board of Governors meeting in Boca in December, and they did it right. They walked in there, whatever they were doing in there, whether it was a presentation or anything else, they walked out. What did you talk about? Oh, we just told them about what we're doing with our new TV network, and then they just beep and kept walking. That you're right. They've learned their lesson.
Yep, which means they're ahead of where they were. Let's talk about spring training and the Blue Jays and a move that was made. We are led to believe that most, if not all, of the 25-man roster will be announced on Sunday. That wouldn't be too surprising. It gives you about a week for your regular guys to play together and whatever that means. So there will be some decisions to be made here. But the Steve Delabarre one was interesting in that I'm led to believe that the general manager made the decision. The manager wasn't on the same page as the general manager. Don't know that that's true, but was led to believe that that was true. What does that mean?
Well, I think the thing is, you look at Delabarre this spring. Delabarre had a half great season for the Toronto Blue Jays the year he played in the All-Star game.
That's exactly what he had.
And then, and last year he drove him nuts because he couldn't find the strike zone. And this year he came to spring very much as a, we'll see what we get. But the problem is he was a we'll see what we get guy at a time when a bunch of young guys are lights out. And I don't think the plan was to have Roberto Osuna on this team, and the plan was not to have Miguel Castro on this team.
Not a chance.
But they're just getting everybody out. So I think that's, and I'm not sure, I haven't talked to Gibby about it, so I can't say what Gibby's in Gibby's head, but I think, within the organization, I think they looked at it and said, these guys are getting people out. Until they stop getting people out, they're our best shot. Steve Delabarre kind of looks like Steve Delabarre last year. He's getting some guys out, but he's, and it's not like he has a 5-year track record of being a dominant guy. He's a remarkable story, and he's a good guy. Everybody likes him. But I think they said, if we're betting on these guys or this guy, we're going to bet on the young guys that are throwing hard and getting everybody out. I can't.
I can't argue with that assessment.
Always go for the guys
with
the biggest ceilings.
But the issue for me is whether there is a rift here between would the manager have kept him if it was the manager's decision alone.
I don't think that. I think rift is probably strong. I think there's a bigger debate about the third catcher, to be honest. Because I think Gibby wants to keep Toley.
He wants to keep three.
Well, he wants to keep Toley because, I was on Blair that week, and he made a pretty compelling argument about, somebody's got to catch the other 30 games or Russell Martin's not going to catch. Why don't you just make those Dickey starts and have Toley catch them and max out the value you get from Martin with the guys where you actually have to call a game, And it's a pretty good argument. It just kind of raises the question of what's DeAndre Navarro. And, Gibby loves him and loves his bat off the bench.
Yeah.
But I think if you carry a third catcher, I can't make the roster work. I just can't make it. I just don't see how it works.
I am with you 100% on that one.
Bob, I don't know how much of a rift there can be between John Gibbons and Alex Anthopoulos, because if it isn't for Alex Anthopoulos, John Gibbons isn't a major league manager.
Yeah, he's in San Antonio.
I'm
just saying, do they disagree? Did they disagree whether Delabarre should stay or not?
I'm sure they disagree on a lot of things, but I couldn't imagine there's a rift there because Gibbons has to look at this guy and say, this is the guy who gave me a chance where nobody else was going to.
Okay, do you think Redmond makes this team?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think Redmond's a better pitcher than Delabarre?
Delabarre's one inning. That's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
So when you
exactly
in
the
a,
point
in a blowout, you need Steve you need Redmond to go
you
in
need
and throw
somebody
four
to throw two or three or four.
Yeah,
and he can do that.
And
it may not be
Delabarre's
great.
Delabarre's now become a one inning guy, and there's just no use for that.
I think that's exactly the point. That's exactly what it's about. It's not whether he was better than Redmond or anybody else. It's that, as a one-inning guy, well, we got two 20-year-olds that we think we can use as one-inning guys.
Yeah.
And then we have a setup guy, and we have a closer. Now, whether that changes or not, and Brett and I had a conversation yesterday about whether Brett Cecil winds up being the closer a month from now, 2 months from now. It's an interesting debate, interesting argument.
I think Castro's going to be the closer. Like sooner, sooner rather than later. Yes.
Well, John Heyman from CBS, who's a really good baseball writer, had an interesting tweet today about about Castro being the closer in not a very long time. This is what he tweeted. Miguel Castro, 20, so impressive. Jays could see him closing sometime in 2015. Cecil still expected to close at start. And when you get a guy...
That's exactly what Brunt said.
No, that's my point. But when you get a guy who's not connected to the Toronto team tweeting like that in the States, as you know, Stephen, from covering these guys, the American reporters unfortunately find out things before the Canadian ones
sometimes
do.
True, yes.
So that says to me that somebody in the organization is planning, banking exactly on
that. Well, either that or this guy was listening to Brunt yesterday.
Yeah, it could be true.
Well, there you go.
But Castro has been the, you know, like this. I was saying to Bob yesterday, this is, of all the spring trainings I've been to, this is the most interesting one ever. Just stuff happened, you know?
Yeah.
Who's that kid? No one knows who that kid is. Who's the big, tall, skinny kids from playing catch in the outfield the day before pitchers and catchers report? You know, oh, that's that Castro guy. Yeah, he was in Vancouver last year, wasn't he? You know, and now we're
who
talking
just
about...
tripped over the sprinkler head.
Yeah, there's that, too. Yeah, we forgot about all
wait
that
a sec,
stuff, right?
Is that Marcus Stroman on that
rolling
terrible.
Around in agony. Oh, yeah, man. That part was bad. Yeah. So there's some bad stuff, but that, you know, that it's not very often where you get the, who is that guy? Oh, he's a name we've heard as a prospect. You know, people in Vancouver know him because they watched him at Nat Bailey last year, but, you know, for us to be now a week away from the season, we're talking about him potentially closing games. Doesn't happen too often.
Okay, so let's, I mean, we assume they're going to probably carry 13 pitchers. That seems to be their modus operandi. That and the fact that they don't have a whole lot of hitters banging down the door to, you know, get playing time.
I think they're going to have 12 pitchers off the top, I think, Bob.
Well,
yeah.
I would think so, but I think that's only a function of the early season schedule and a lot of off days. But having said that, either way, we think we know who the four outfielders are.
Yeah.
We're not exactly sure who's going to play center field most.
Pompey's going to play center field.
Pompey's going to be the guy.
And Saunders is going to be DL to start the season.
Right. So
Pilar will
But we know who the four guys are. We're not exactly sure how much playing time everybody's going to get, but we know who they are. Are we comfortable that both Travis and Goins will probably make the team as infielders?
Yes. Travis is going to start, and Goins will be your backup infielder.
Mm-hmm. Especially with Asturias beginning the season on
yeah,
DL.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We already addressed the catching situation. Could be two, could be three. What's the first base situation?
I think
as far
smoke,
as I can
yeah.
see, among everyday players, that's the only one where we can't really define for sure what this organization is going to announce on Sunday.
My guess is they're going to go north with Smoke just because his bat seems to be getting straightened out a little bit, and he's very, very good defensively.
Yeah, he can catch. And you can always put up with a guy who's struggling with the bat as long as it's
hard
position,
to do at first base.
Catch.
I understand what you're saying, but it's hard to do
And he is a guy
base.
That's hit 20 home runs in the major leagues.
This
so,
is not yeah. a team that's going to struggle to score a ton of runs, I don't
You
think.
Don't think so. No, yeah. you're right. What should we expect from Edwin Encarnacion?
From what standpoint?
Health, ability to play.
Well, he's back. You know, he is playing. So, and I think they're going to be careful about him playing the field. I think he wants to play the field a bit, but I think they'll be very careful about it.
I just don't know how you forecast that.
Yeah, yeah. He's, you know, it's a back because thing, as we talked about that. It's the, you know, it's the great, it does kind of hover over a player. It's hover over to Adam Lind for most of his career.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, I mean.
But
I
the
mean,
back isn't what cost him last year.
No.
No, but I again, are you taking Smoke north because you can't or don't want to have Edwin play the field and you need somebody to play there?
In part.
Or
yeah.
are you taking him north because he's earned a spot? And I agree with you, Steve. Statistically, yeah. he was horrible for the first 4 weeks of camp.
And he's kind
of the last 7 days or so, you know, he had a one, two-run home run game.
Just because they break camp with the team doesn't mean by...
I don't think he's got a lot of rope.
I understand that.
Well, that's
yeah.
it.
I don't think he's got a lot of rope.
He's gonna have to perform, right?
Yep. Yeah, I think so. But I think that
who else doesn't have rope?
Well, who's gone when Saunders comes back?
They'll have to deal with it'll probably be Tolleson, you know, who's yeah. gonna carry because
oh, right.
he's out
they
of
have
options.
To keep another right. one, right?
And then they'll try and sneak him through, you know, sneak
right.
him
the waivers.
Back. Yeah. So that's I think he's probably the likely guy. Valencia will be on the team. He'll play some. He could play some first base.
Mm-hmm.
I think he makes the team. And you know, that's kind of it, right? Like
yeah.
that's we've kind of
yeah.
filled
that's
in all the
like you've got two guys who are not going to start with the team or eventually going to be on the team.
Yeah.
So there's your guys that don't have rope. Who are those guys that don't have the rope? It's the two guys who are gone when those two
is
guys
Goins
come back.
Is Goins one of those? Because when Asturias comes back, what do you do, you know?
The Asturias question is going to be really interesting, right?
Right?
Because they weren't, You know, they kind of brought him out there at the beginning and said they had to play shortstop, everything. Just went, show us you're healthy, because yeah, they got to pay him anyway, right?
That's show us which you is can the move.
Issue. Mm-hmm. And they started, there was a fair degree of enthusiasm about him early, and there was far less enthusiasm as camp went on,
right?
Before he got hurt. And plus, this Travis kid just knocked everybody's socks off, right? So I don't know what happens to Mysore Sturis when he's, quote, healthy, unquote.
Right.
I don't know.
And he's got a contract.
It's
he's
really hard. Isn't here. It hard for you to see him getting into the starting lineup when he's healthy?
If Travis looks overwhelmed in the major leagues, mm-hmm.
okay,
that's how he gets back. Otherwise, I don't see
Do
him
Do you expect
back.
That to happen?
I'm not from what I saw this spring.
Me neither.
Well, he looked again. It's you know, and the thing is, you're not asking. He played really good defense, which was the question with him. Everybody knows he can hit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He has to play good defense on this team to make the team. They don't actually need the offense as much as they need the defense at that position. But that's kind of was the eye opener. If he doesn't look overwhelmed in the field and hits a little bit, you know, he's obviously the guy of the future. Then he's the guy of the present. And you kind of with his stories, you kind of know. Even in a best case, you kind of know what you've got, right? Mm. Which is not a lot.
And you can't practice for that turf.
No.
Like when you playing, you know, spring training to that turf at Rogers Center.
Well, that's the new stuff.
Big,
so we'll have
it's a big adjustment.
Like.
It's an adjustment. Big adjustment.
Yeah. We'll see whether he can make it. Which brings us to the never-ending question. How good are they? You know, absent the interesting things that have happened this spring. You know, 6 months ago, 6 weeks ago, it was pretty easy to make an evaluation. Whatever your evaluation was, it was pretty easy to say, well, they're this good or they're that good. Then Stroman goes down and it's doom and gloom for a few days, and you think, well, they're done. And then the two kids out of the bullpen suddenly become phenoms. And you go, well, wait a second.
They've become spring phenoms.
Well, plus Norris had a great spring.
And
well,
Norris,
that's one of the
just
things.
A killer spring.
Mm-hmm. Because he was still.
Now you got Norris and Sanchez at the back end of the rotation. You're going, holy cow. You know, you got a couple of young 20 something year olds. Hutchison's, I don't think he's 25 yet. You know, this is pretty good. And you got guys coming, and you got two potential starters that are going to start in the bullpen who are throwing lights out, neither one of whom prior to today. They get rained out today?
Shortened, but I think they
shortened. I don't think either one of them gave up has given up a run yet. I think this you have to reevaluate.
And it's hard.
And it's hard because you got so many unproven. You got unproven center fielder, unproven second baseman, two unproven guys in the bullpen. You've got three catchers, maybe two catchers. Your first base, you have no idea what you're going to get. The rest is fine, but the rest isn't that much.
Well, the first five guys in your order, pretty damn good.
Yep. 6 through 9, who the hell knows?
But as good as Sanchez was last year, 40% of your rotation is still an unknown.
We're basing a lot of hope on guys who
40%?
Had a great spring.
You mean your last five. Two?
Yeah.
Well, but think of, you know, again, think of Stroman and what happened with him last year.
Yeah,
sure.
Why, it's not like these guys are such, you know, guys that come out of nowhere. You know, Norris and Sanchez are highly, highly touted, high draft picks.
Sanchez, I think, is different because he at least has some major league experience.
Well,
you know, I mean,
not a ton.
He was
as a closer,
but closer is the highest pressure situation for a young guy to come into.
Actually, you know, and again, I would disagree because a lot of those situations, when you bring a guy in with a clean inning and a 3-run lead, it's a heck of a lot easier than sending a guy out to start a game.
But there's nothing tougher on a young pitcher than blowing a game for somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I remember. I mean, I just look at it this way, like. It's interesting to me hearing, like, all the air went out of it when Stroman got hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And that was brutal. But now, listening to your dissertation there, Bob, we're looking at Norris in a spring and Asun in a spring and Castro in a spring. And
it's all spring.
And everybody's all excited. I mean, I hope it works because this city needs a playoff team or a run or something to excite you. But I just see a lot of...
You're not buying into it yet.
A lot of hopes and wishes still. A lot of talent, a lot of potential, but still a lot based on hope.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah. I'm just saying...
I think we all do.
But you're dealing with... You know, again, you are dealing with high-end talent here.
Yep,
that
agree.
Is not fluky... You know, Castro's more of a fluke than anyone. He's a $40,000 signing out of the Dominican. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, and he was signed mm-hmm. as an old guy in the Dominican. He's the fluke. The other guys are blue chip guys. It's like talking about Jeff Hoffman. You know, Jeff Hoffman's going to be, as long as he, you know, comes back from Tommy John, Jeff Hoffman's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a guy who could have been first overall if he didn't get hurt. These guys, there's a reason guys are picked where they were. Mm-hmm. So, you know, what you're seeing are young guys who maybe are a year ahead of schedule, maybe. So it's not, you know, it's more like a graduating class, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's not, I don't think they're grasping at straws here. That was what I would say is the difference here.
Here's the other thing. They're not making this team because the Blue Jays don't have options. They have options. They may not be good options, but every single one of these young players that has made this team has made it legitimately. Based on the criteria, the only criteria you can use, and that is a few games at the end of last season for some of them and spring training this year.
And fundamentally, though, there's just very little depth.
Well, we get that.
Yeah.
Well, but, you know,
who has depth?
Yeah, let's look around. You know, right. look at the back end of anybody's rotation. Just about, you know, outside of Washington, maybe.
Today, the Blue Jays put Kyle Drabek on waivers, and the Chicago White Sox claimed him.
Right. So,
like, the Chicago White Sox are supposed to have a pretty good team.
Can never have too much pitching.
You've seen Kyle Drabek since the second Tommy John.
You know what, Bob? Before. I think the biggest reason to be excited, not only because there's some interesting arms here, is that the division's not that good.
Yeah.
And it's not like you're going into a division with the 1999 Yankees who won 114 games.
Well, sure, we get that.
But I'm just saying that the hope is there that if some of these guys hold up, you can win.
It's a really, you know, with the possible exception of Tampa, because the injuries to their pitching staff, I think, are going to kill them because they just can't score runs. But if you everybody else, there's an interesting debating point. You know, the Orioles, we always underestimate. They got guys coming back who were hurt last year.
Yeah, but they got three pretty good significant players that aren't back.
And they lost some people. The Yankees, you know, Tanaka's your opening day starter. Everybody's sitting there waiting for his elbow to explode.
Yes.
Pineda is a guy who has looked great this spring but has been hurt.
We've heard that.
Sabathia, mm-hmm. God knows, you know, what you're going to get out of mm-hmm. Sabathia. Boston, they made tremendous, interesting moves in terms of position players, but their rotation looks weak, and you got a 40-year-old closer in Uehara. So, you know, you can have an interesting kind of conversation around any one of these teams in the American League East right now, including the Blue Jays. So, you know, that's the fun of it. You know, 162 that's the difference between this and other sports, right? A lot of stuff's going to happen between now and October. But whether they make the playoffs, there's a huge number of variables about whether they'll be in contention in September. But you can't sit there and watch those pitchers and not be enthused about what's coming. Because it's the best group I've seen since Halliday and Carpenter in that crowd.
I hope I'm wrong, but I always remember Isringhausen, Pulsifer, and who the other one was, the Mets had. And I just, you know, the other thing, Steve, is that you look at baseball now and how many young guys are blowing out their arms.
Yeah, but you've also seen teams get the postseason. Yeah, A's have done it, right?
Mulder, Zito, and Hudson, no
and
question.
After that.
You hope it's right and you hope it works. It amazes me how the Blue Jays, probably more than any other team in the city, they go like this. Like, Stroman goes down, the air goes out. These pitchers have a hot spring. The roller coaster is back up again. You know, the city has such a... There's always been a romance to the Blue Jays ever since they came in that I don't think any other team has. They're the summer sport. They were a team that got good really quick. The city fell in love with the Blue Jays really fast. I don't think that's ever gone away. There's to me, and you guys can tell me if I'm totally nuts, but as a guy who's lived in Toronto all my life, there's been a romance to the Blue Jays that there isn't with any other
team.
Well,
with an entire generation, maybe two generations, mm-hmm. it's the only major Toronto franchise that's won.
Yeah.
Toronto Maple Leafs, 67.
Raptors won playoff series.
Yeah.
And the other thing about the Blue Jays, it's not just for people from Toronto. I mean, I grew up in Nova Scotia. They were Canada's team.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I was an Expo fan, but you still kind of got caught up in the whole magic of the early 90s.
But I think, too, you know, in that environment, which you're talking about, Elliot, which is, you know, the great desert, which people are walking through in this, it's hard to take. You have to take the long view in baseball, even if it, you know, and no one, you don't want to take the long view, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's,
you have to.
And you don't, especially after 20 years of no playoffs, you're saying to people, you got to take the long view.
Mm-hmm.
But you do. It's a different, you know, just there's a different rhythm to the game and a different rhythm to the how you build teams and compared to the other sports we talk about. And, you know, if you're kind of seeing that in that perspective, you look at this season, you look at these guys emerging, and you say, well, that's something we haven't seen.
Gives you hope.
It's something special, yeah.
You know, Bob, the key is Castro, Asuna, Norris, Sanchez, Stroman, breast milk.
There may be something to that, Elliot, but I'm going to give you the number of the guy who called and suggested that. You're going to deal with it, not me. 25 minutes past the hour of the break, and Primetime continues on the Sportsnet radio and television networks.
Now, Primetime is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day's night.
All right, shut up. We're on the air. Where are you going?
Things have deteriorated here dramatically. See a studio audience. This is something.
It's the largest crowd we've ever had in here.
Come on in.
There's the...
Wait a second. Read it like you believe it, Bob.
Were there sandwiches today?
Yes.
Did anybody eat any? I didn't even see them. Amazing.
They were great.
Our thanks to Subway for sending footlongs and wraps to go with Beer Friday. Didn't get any of that either.
Well, some
and
people
feeding
did.
The round table. Didn't get any of that. Have a weekend treat. Go to your local Subway or go to subway.ca. Thanks to Subway. We have a cast of thousands in here. Tim is here. Sid is here. Damien's here. Blair is here. Jen is here. As a party's even here. We don't know why as a party on it.
Lance Kennedy.
Lance Larkin, DJ Lance, yes.
Lance just wandered in. You weren't here earlier, were you? I wouldn't have missed you, I don't think. Mm-hmm. Damien has assumed a spot at the end of the table, but he has to leave.
I'm a little confused. They told me, and the only reason I came was that Tim and Sid were leaving. They're not leaving.
No, I know. They're just moving.
Well,
I know.
Any excuse for a party.
Only Tim and Sid.
Why are you wearing a UBC hoodie, by the way?
My daughter goes to UBC.
Hmm. What's that got to do with anything? Was it free? Did she send it to you? Did you buy it?
Aren't you glad you came?
Well, she definitely could have gotten into Bishop's. Because everybody gets into Bishop's.
What have you guys been talking about?
Nothing. We're going to talk hockey, though.
Perth wants to talk about the OHL playoffs.
Yeah, darn imagine. Right.
Rash, too.
Yeah. Been glued to the OHL playoffs tonight.
Pucks in deep.
Who's playing today?
Tonight is the Oshawa Generals.
Oh.
And the Peterborough Petes. But there's many games across this fine nation.
Well, Erie's not playing
there's
tonight?
Not four college no, basketball
Erie
games
lost last
watch.
Night. The McDavid's lost.
No.
That's impossible.
First game, but they play again tonight. I can't imagine this is the hockey topic that you were going to tackle.
It isn't in the least, but
no.
I can't believe they're not carrying the Erie game. I thought we carried all the Erie games like we were Connor McDavid's hometown.
We had
team.
A whole bunch of them. Then he refused to play. Something about a broken hand. And so then we didn't have any. But I'm sure we will. Are you coming to Quebec City for the Memorial Cup?
Yeah, sure.
That'll be fun. The only Memorial Cup I ever did was in Quebec City. Yeah.
All of a sudden, Brunson,
did you see his eyes light up when you said Quebec
Steve's
City?
Steve's thinking about a week
I haven't,
on Grand
I have a rooting
LA.
Interest. It's about rooting interest.
Certainly,
you,
I could find an essay or two to write
Steven
about Quebec City.
Steven now feels that junior hockey in this country doesn't get near the attention.
Darn right. Let's go. I'm in.
Should we acknowledge the departure of Tim and Sid to parts unknown, yes. at least temporarily?
No, not really. They did a great job.
How long were you guys on the air on this?
December 2011. I'm yelling because I don't have a microphone.
Yeah, first time in your life.
Would you like to slide over here, Sid?
No. I've had my time, Mr. Brett. Thank you.
Tim, you want to take my chair?
How long was your goodbye show? I mean, it went
a week,
days.
It was a week.
It was like a week.
Yeah.
15 hours.
It was actually a week.
They were on the air 4 years. You'd thought they'd been here for 40. It was 4 years, four crummy, stinking, slimy little years, and they
and a couple of good ones too. But yeah, how often did that Olympic clip? How many times did it get run this week?
I come and go.
How many times did the yelling at the Olympic Olympic hockey clip? How many times did you run it?
Four.
That's
what about
not,
the figure skating
that's not excessive.
One? Once. Just once you ran the figure skating
that's
clip.
But you run out of time.
Who lasted longer, Tim and Sid or Mike Inglis?
Ooh.
No, that was a real question.
That's hurtful.
Wow.
That's really hurtful.
Why?
Radio
by the way.
Is Mike,
by the way,
Mike still doing play-by-play for the Miami Heat?
I think so.
Yeah, he went on to bigger and better things.
By the way, Brunt owes me a beer because Damien is on the PTS roundtable.
That's, do I owe you a beer for that?
Yeah,
is that the
bet?
He
said he'd never show up again.
Here I am. I got dressed up just
for
this.
I'll pay off that way. Yeah. It's worth
it. Who was the shortest-lived person ever at the fan?
I don't think we made the bet, but let's just say we did.
Wow. Can you pass my my tea down for me, please? Thank you very much. Make yourself useful for once, Cox.
Who is the shortest-lived?
Should I be your official tester to make sure it's not poisoned?
No, I'm pretty sure it's okay. Right. Even if it is, I don't care at this point. That's a good question.
Seriously.
Do you think Inglis was the...
He was here for a few years.
No. Yeah. I don't think so.
No?
I'm pretty sure he wasn't.
Well, maybe that was a mean thing to say. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure it was a
few
months.
Put it this way, in boxing, you would have got a one-point penalty for that one.
I may be wrong on this, but I'm, if I'm not mistaken, I replaced him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
How long did that last?
2 years.
Did not.
Half the time of Tim and Sid.
Morning show.
The only difference was they got promoted, I got fired.
Oh, yeah.
That was the fundamental difference in that.
So it was you, Barb DiGiulio...
No, that's but wasn't there there was something in between Inglis and your zoo in the, on their mornings? Wasn't
I don't
there?
Think so.
No, it was a zoo. It was one of those zoo shows. So it's wacky people, like sort of like this, wasn't
the
it?
The Breakfast Flakes.
The Breakfast Flakes. Yeah. That's what they were. That was wacky.
It was Barb DiGiulio. Who else was on?
Well, there were a bunch of people, but rotating. We had rotating co-hosts.
Mike Richards.
He was on as the comedy portion.
That's right.
When he was funny.
What's he doing now?
Yeah, whatever happened.
No idea. Only thing I know is he stopped being funny. So, Debbie Van Kiekebelt was a regular.
Yes, Debbie Van
Remember that?
Tom, she did like,
Tom Mayenect?
He did some shows. Yeah. And then we had some other people come in. People like Peter Mansbridge would come in periodically and do a couple of hours. So, it was a different
thing.
It
was the less wacky
thing.
Part. That was Richard
Mansbridge. Do we want to reflect on other things in the history of this radio station?
I'd like taking to this down an interesting
I'd like
path.
To talk more about junior though. Hockey, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
so disappointed we're not going down that road some more.
You're a regular on Hockey Night in Canada, for goodness sake.
That's true. Not junior hockey.
Oh.
Step off, UBC. Fly away, Thunderbird. Fly away.
Wow.
Oh, man.
You've been told, pal.
You got a little CIN. My goodness.
Well. Yeah,
give me a moment and list those Gators national championships.
Okay, stop now.
No, none.
Yeah.
You just got
coxed. Careful.
So it is March the 27th. Tim and Sid are off the radio because they have to. Plant. Let's say here's the intelligence of this stupid network. Let's get into the real essence of this. So here's a network that decides, for whatever reason, that it needs a new show on television from 5 to 7 p.m.
Aren't you on television from 5 to 7 p.m., Bob?
No,
not anymore.
Not. I'm on from 4 to 7.
Oh.
So it needs this new show. So it says.
Did you hear what Lance just said?
He just said
depending on tennis. I just wanted to make sure that's you nice caught the brilliance of that.
Oh, no. We know where he'll be working in a month from now.
This is like this show with a laugh track.
Live studio audience.
So so March 27th is your end date. Your start date on the new show is?
July 1st, baby.
July 1st. So between March 27th and July 1st, you're going to be doing what approximately? Figuring out what to do on July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Now, under most circumstances, wouldn't you think an intelligent employer would sort of have that thought through in advance? Doesn't that make a whole lot of sense? Let's do this show, and here's what it's going to sound like, and here's what it's going to look like, and here's what will be on it. And you know who'd be great doing that? Tim and Sid. No.
But then we wouldn't get 3 months off.
Preach!
You told me you were working for the next 3 months to prepare the show.
How many months did you get to prepare to be a breakfast flake?
That's it must have been some prep involved in that.
No, nothing. In fact, I took the producer and Barb and the three of us went to the Bahamas for 4 days to talk about it. That's how long it took to put it together.
That's how long this should take.
Went to the Bahamas for 4 days. sat around the pool, sat on the beach, talked about what we were going to do, got on an airplane, came home, did the show.
That was ridiculous. They're going to the Fox and the Furkin.
Both?
Both of them.
On the same night?
I thought they were a different place, but yeah. The Fox and the Firkin.
Do we want to get into this NHL stuff, or do we want to?
I don't see much point in it now, Bob.
I don't really either.
You mean we're not going to talk about the St. Louis Blues?
Oh, Rash. Okay.
Is that your baby?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's my real baby.
Aren't you going down to St. Louis to do an interview or something?
No,
I'm Minnesota. Oh, you're going to Minnesota. Bullets. You're going to talk to that goaltender.
The goaltender.
That former failed goaltender who suddenly has found both Jesus and the way to stop the puck, apparently.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
I don't know about
that. Wow, there's a lot of those out there. How do you explain that? How do you? Well, Jesus, we can't explain. At least not on this show.
Sorry, if we're turning to a rash for things on hockey, I'm out of here. Thank you very much.
I have a question. Is there a rivalry that's going to be brewing between the Hamburglar and Devin Dubnyk?
Well, how do these guys how do these guys turn themselves their careers around the way they have? Mm-hmm. Or is the sample size still too small to evaluate? How does this happen? Because it's not supposed to happen.
You opened this door.
I'm going to clear the room if you don't shut up.
This does feel like high school. It really does. And the best part, when it was happening in high school, they said, if you behave like this, you'll never get a job. And now there's a dozen people all employed still behaving like we're in high school.
This party was supposed to be over at 6. I read the memo. And they're still serving. Well, we can just sit here and look at each other then for the next 15 minutes, if you like.
Is there something you'd like to say about Tim and Sid?
This is about the time, though, that Bob makes his prediction on the Blue Jays baseball season. And how many wins?
No, we're not there yet.
Next week. Next week.
How many, what did you predict last year?
91.
And how many, did they win 91?
83.
No. 83, yeah.
How many are you saying this year?
I haven't.
Well,
no, it's not time.
People want to know.
It'll be next Friday, which I think will be my last opportunity before the season starts, isn't it?
Yes.
Season starts on Monday or Tuesday?
Season starts on Monday in New York, correct?
Now, Brent, you're ever the optimist. What are you saying, 103, 104?
Well, am I supposed to do it before he does it? I think there's an etiquette here, isn't there?
Oh, is it?
I think you have to defer. Don't you remember what it's like to be the sidekick here? Yeah, I think you have to wait.
Yeah.
You do remember, don't you?
He remembers. Followed none of the rules.
When's the next time you're going to be appearing on the show, Damon?
On this show. That could
Damien, when can we expect you in studio next?
Anytime I'm invited, Arash.
Mm-hmm. Inhale.
So never? So why don't you tell us now? Like, well, are you more or less optimistic about this baseball season than other years?
More.
Really? Than last year?
More.
Wow. So 91 is going to be low.
Interesting.
Yeah, because remember last year, that was the kind of the sour end of spring training, the Irvin Santana thing, and even in the wake of that,
he was
optimistic because that's his nature.
Well, I was. It is my nature. I was bullish about the Raptors too. I predicted 52, and for a good portion of the season, they were trending above 52.
Then they started playing real competition.
Well, you know, a lot of things happened. So 52 is sort of out of the question now, I think.
So based on what you're saying, every Blue Jay fan is hoping that you predict they win 24 games.
Well, I don't think that's necessarily
the case. No,
you're
pretty close on the Raptors, though. You know, like it's kind of work out not that far off.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, you know, theoretically, if you look at the first half of the season with the Blue Jays last year, it was looking pretty good in the first half with that, too. So I don't know. I don't know yet. I haven't thought about it, to tell you the truth. And I actually put some thought into this, unlike some of your predictions, Cox. So let me take a couple of minutes.
Did you predict Notre Dame getting to the Elite Eight for the first time in 36
years? Never thought about it for 1 second. out in two, and that's about where they should have been. I'm surprised they got past the first round.
I assume you guys had at least one, if not two, segments on the Irish, the Fighting Irish, knocking off Wichita State.
Never mentioned it.
No? Nothing?
No.
It's been an interesting.
Wichita's not even a state, so I don't even know why they get to be called Wichita State.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean,
Ball State?
That's right. That's not a state either.
The tournament has been interesting, though.
It really has.
I mean, take Kentucky out of the picture because they're doing what everybody expected them to do. And to some extent, Arizona, I guess, although I don't think anybody paid any attention to Arizona.
Paid any attention to the Pac-12 at all. And now they have two teams left.
Yeah. But I mean, like Wichita State, North Carolina State, there have been a bunch of schools six seeds, seven seeds. I don't know if there's an eight seed in there yet. Still,
there's an 11 seed, UCLA.
Yeah, that have made this thing interesting.
Yeah,
but maybe only to the point of making it easier for a Duke, a Wisconsin, and a Kentucky to get to the Final Four. Maybe that's all that this will serve to do, is that these teams have had their little runs, and when push comes to shove, a higher seed would have had a better chance of knocking off, you know, one of the tops, well, Kentucky's.
But this happens more often now than ever. Virginia Commonwealth,
why?
George Mason,
yeah,
Butler twice.
Is it because of the freshmen and gone?
It's because that they're
Wichita State got to the
four. Wichita State, yeah. Because all the best players, they don't stay for a long time now. You can actually develop. I mean, Kentucky is destroying everybody, but you can develop a team of not the best players and have a chance.
That's well, Wisconsin.
And that's changed.
Yeah, if you've got seniors, right? Juniors and seniors on your team. Used to be in the Final Four, it was always juniors and seniors. If you had freshmen or sophomores on your team, maybe you had one that started, but it was all who had the most experience.
Long time ago.
It is a long time ago. It's unfortunate.
It's going to be heartbreaking for Kentucky on Saturday, I would think. Heartbreaking.
Yeah, heartbreaking.
What is the spread?
Remember, who
47
broke,
and a half.
Who broke UCLA's, what was it, an 88-game win streak?
Yep.
Who broke that?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Yeah, I would think if they
nothing
cover.
Like hanging
they'll probably
on
upset
a victory
if they don't
that
cover,
was 40 years ago.
Yes. Yeah.
Shut up, Lance.
Are you more excited about Notre Dame's performance in this tournament than almost anything else right now? I mean, I know you have an attachment.
I haven't watched any other part of the tournament, so yes.
You really only watch Notre Dame?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of college basketball now. I don't like the way the game's played. Well, and some of what you talked about how it's all one and done or all freshmen.
You don't get to know the guys.
And, I mean, it's become a little, you know, like it's like the NBA, but not as good as the NBA, in my mind, because it's all about just shooting the three and you know, running up and down the court. I just don't see the differentiation between the teams, other than some are really good. And
I was the biggest college basketball fan around in the 80s and early 90s, but once the NBA came, I couldn't watch anymore. It was so slow.
Which was so slow?
The NCAA.
Well, once the NBA came, there was a 45-second shot. I mean, the 35-second shot
was
awful.
It was so
slow.
They
have to get that to 30 now.
I had trouble watching it.
I'd like to see that, but I will say this much. I have been to a lot of sporting events, and certainly not as many as you guys have, but a considerable number. There is nothing I would rather do than go to an arena and watch a college basketball game. Especially, I just think the sentiment, the energy in the building for college basketball is unparalleled in sport.
On campus, the anticipation leading into a big conference game.
Now, I understand if you go to University of Michigan, Ohio State, you know, if you go to one of the schools with 100,000+ people, it's big. It's enormous. It's overwhelming. It's loud. But there's something different about college basketball and being in that arena. Having the band right there where you can hear them and see them. The cheerleaders bouncing around on the court. You know, it's electric. If you haven't had the opportunity, if you're a sports fan and you're doing one of your tours of going to different places to go and see something, if you've never been to a major U.S. college basketball game, do yourself a favor. Go get yourself a ticket. It won't cost you a lot of money. It'd be cheap relative to almost anything
else.
The
one Final Four I ever went to is right up there on the all the things I've done.
On the all-time list?
I went to the 1989 Final Four in Seattle.
Is that the one that Michigan won, right?
Yep. Yeah. Seton Hall, remember
year,
that?
You went a year too early? And,
It was terrific, though. It was really good.
It's up there. Music's playing. We got to get out of here. Again, we wished him and said nothing but success.
That's not...
So
that's completely different than what you were saying.
We're still on.
Oh.
30 seconds. I'll give you my real opinion. Thanks to the studio audience for joining us. Yes. Well, now they're applauding themselves.
We should do this all the time.
Sports. Love you, Bob.
They're all a bunch of drunken former Sportsnet employees. For Brent and Friedman and Madani and now Cox, apparently, who's just took over the end seat. Have a nice weekend. See you Monday. Good night from Toronto.